Welcome to the jungle. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Nice to have you here. All right, so the show sets up like this as we go into hour number two. There's Adam Hawk. Wah! Not long after he arrived, Adam Hawk was downgraded to the pigeon, then the sparrow, and then he worked his way back to Hawk. He had to re-earn his name. 1-800-636-8686. That's kind of tough, right? We have to re-earn your own name. It's not a given. He lost it. Dear Jim, kudos to Portland for inserting an out-of-shape, out-of-work bum that they picked up off the streets right into a key role. I thought they only did things like that in Bristol. Signed, Mike Golick's kid. All right, I'm done with that. Like, I don't talk about other shows, never have, never will. You know this. So why do you bring that crap around here? Just don't do it, man. You're taking me off my game. That's not easy to do, but sometimes you win. Sometimes you get over. Let me get back to the show. It is still brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. You know this. Coming up next segment, Kyle Whittingham, Utah Utes head football coach, is my guest. Top of hour number three, Bryant McFadden is a CBS Sports football analyst, and Arash Markazi, good friend of the program and a columnist for the LA Times, joins us in hour number three. There's some good matchups this weekend. Week 12 already of the NFL is here. Hot freaking damn. If there aren't some spicy, spicy matchups on the old TV guide. In fact, I'm so glad I'm going back to New York for the NFL on CBS. I'm going to hit on some of this stuff on Sunday. Check out the matchups. Colts, Texans for first in the division. Key matchup. Ravens and Rams. I love that game. Lamar Jackson under the Hollywood lights at the Collie Monday night. And 12 other games in between on Sunday, including Dallas going to Foxborough to play the Patriots. Brady and Dak. Edelman and Amari. Jera and Bob Kraft. Hoodie and the Clapper.
Clap on, clap off, the Clapper.
No doubt, the biggest mismatch Sunday afternoon in New England is going to be between the dudes wearing the headsets on the sidelines, right? One guy's got that fistful of jewelry and is regarded as the best to ever do it. In fact, nobody even questions that at this point. The other guy is Jason Garrett. And Garrett's claim to fame is red hair and clapping. But nobody does those two things quite like him. I mean, I could do a whole take on how the hoodie could trade places with the Clapper on Sunday and win by four TDs with the Clapper's guys. But why would I do that when I can just read this amazing quote from the quote machine himself, Jerry Jones? Now, Jerry didn't say anything about Jason Garrett in a published piece in The Athletic, but he did say something about Bill Belichick. According to Jerry, way back in the mid-90s, after the hood was bleep canned by the Browns, Jera and Belichick ran into one another at a ski resort, of all places. And Jera told this publication that the hood approached him and said, quote, "I can coach. If you ever get the opportunity, don't forget about me," end quote. So Bill Belichick said that to Jerry Jones. Don't forget about me. Jera, being Jera, did exactly that. He forgot about the hood and instead remembered Chan Gailey. And he went with Chan Gailey to replace Barry Switzer. Perfect. How utterly Cowboys of you, Jera. Jera also said in that same piece, quote, "I've thought about that many times. You never know where you can find a great coach. You can find them in a ski checkout line sometimes," end quote. You never know where you can find a great coach. You can find them in a ski checkout line. First off, what the hell is a ski checkout line? What is a ski checkout line? Is that like seven items or less on the mountain? What is a ski checkout line? What, you tell me that Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick were renting twigs to get down that mountain. Are you going to tell me that there was some zit-faced teenager bending over and trying to slam Jarrett into some boots and saying, how do those fit? Can you feel your toes? How's that? A ski checkout line? I don't know what part of that story I like best. Jarrett and Bill renting skis and boots. Bill pitching Jarrett in the rental line. Jarrett ignoring the pitch. Or Bill freaking Belichick skiing. It's an amazing sequence to kind of try and play out in your mind. Then again, so is Jarrett going with Chan Gailey and Dave Campo over the hood. But then again, as you know, hindsight is obviously 50-50.
Hindsight, 50-50.
I mean, no one knew after his failed stint with the Browns, other than Kraft, and even Kraft didn't know to this extent. I mean, who knew that Belichick would go on to win 6 Super Bowls and be the greatest coach of all time? I mean, who knew that? And there's a whole hell of a lot of reasons to believe that Jerry Jones would have gotten in the way of Belichick in the ways that Bob Kraft won't. Bob Kraft never tried to rip the phone out of Hood's hands on draft day so he could select Johnny Manziel. Say what you want about Kraft, but he never fired the hoodie for getting too much credit for Super Bowl wins. Jarrett allegedly tried to do both those things. Actually, he did get rid of Jimmy Johnson for that very reason. But if you're a Cowboy fan, you have to hate hearing that the greatest coach ever once went to your owner and said, I'd love to work there. Keep me in mind. And your owner didn't care. Was not interested. Only Jarrett would cop to that story. Anybody else who had the opportunity to hire Bill Belichick and didn't probably would bury that deep inside their soul and only tell a therapist after multiple sessions. Or just try and forget about it altogether. Jarrett, on the other hand, told a reporter 5 days before he rolls the clapper into Foxborough to try to out-scheme the master. The master, who once availed himself in a, quote, ski checkout line. But it's not, let's not act like Jarrett doesn't have the perfect coach. For him, Jason Garrett is the ideal guy for Jarrett. When they win, Garrett gets no credit. When they lose, Garrett gets all the blame. And when you're working for Jarrett, that quality is pretty much more important than any other. Jarrett doesn't want the goat. He wants the scapegoat, or a guy he can manipulate, or a guy who's got red hair, or a guy who claps a lot. Sorry, Cowboy fan. But you got to admit, your dude does have fire lettuce, and he can clap the hell out of it. And that combination is not easy to find in a head coach. In fact, I've never seen it before. And once Jarrett finally does get around to firing Garrett, we probably will never see that combination ever again. The combination of a guy having fire lettuce and being able to clap the hell out of it. I wonder where these guys were. What ski checkout line were they in when the hood said to Jarrett, I can coach a little. Don't forget about me. Were they at Mountain High? Did you get the all-day pass, Jarrett? Nah, Hood, I got the night pass. How about you? Well, I got a season pass, Jarrett. I got the season pass here at Snow Summit. I wonder where these guys were, that ski checkout line. Where would a couple of dudes like that show up? Don't know. All I know is he could have had that guy. I mean, you could argue, yeah, so could 29 other teams. Yeah, but he went to him and said, keep me in mind, keep me in mind. And so now we'll see what happens. Talk about a mismatch. The clapper and the hood. Who you got? I got a question for you, though. We already know the mismatch there. What are the chances that Dak outplays TB12? Right now, Dak is playing a lot better than TB12. Right now, Dak is playing better than pretty much anybody not named Lamar or Russ. Dak is playing really well. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Love that matchup. And as you might imagine, I've got thoughts on that matchup. Thinking about what I'm going to hit on the NFL on CBS. This much I can guarantee. My man Jason Lockenfour and I will be in the A block. How do I know? Drew Kalisky told me. Also, I'm going to have thoughts on the Ravens. I'm going to have thoughts on the Titans. I'm going to have thoughts on the Packers and Niners. And I'm going to have thoughts on, let me think, Dak. It's going to be a full schedule. Sunday, NFL and CBS. Got to find me a suit. Got to find me something good to wear so Phil Simms can light me up again. Mike D for three tweets. Did Hoodie actually tell Jerry, don't forget about me? Or did he just slip him a mixtape with the Simple Minds on it?
Don't you forget about me.
That'd be pretty cool. Rome. Hot chocolate, my ass. We all know there is warm sarsaparilla in Ike's cup. Dan in Richmond. No, it was hot chocolate. I saw the empty pod out in the kitchen. Drew in West LA. Stop piling on Rit. He has to drink Ovaltine so he can use the decoder ring to unlock the secret message. Ovaltine. That's good, Drew. Ovaltine and Tang back in the day. Remember that? I think I'm dating a lot of you. Remember Ovaltine? Hey, and Tang. Hey, how'd the astronauts get to the moon, man? Tang. Is Tang still a thing? Does Tang still exist? Look at Rit. Rit, how long have you been here, Rit? 6 months? 9 months? Rit hasn't said one word to me since he got here. He just literally, I didn't even know you had talkback capabilities. He just hit me loud and clear with, Tang is great. Add that to the list. When we come back, we're talking Utah Utes football. Kyle Whittingham is my guest. That's next segment. Clones. So what do we want when we need some protein and we want some more energy? I'm going to answer that question by telling you what we do not want. What we don't want are bars, sugary snacks, or energy drinks. What we want is beef, pure and simple. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not Ritz jerky. Not shriveled up, not dry, not tasteless, like Rit. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way it's tender and it's tasty, it's not tough. So what makes it so good? The company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. What I'm saying is they take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein and comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever. Make sure you look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores. If you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I already mentioned that I will be back in New York City for the NFL on CBS this weekend. Let me remind you, it is highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including that NFC South showdown between Carolina and New Orleans. The Raiders are on the road against the Jets. I see a lot of people picking the Jets to upset the Raiders. It all starts with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. I will be back there myself. Looking forward to that. As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at the University of Utah, 15th season as head coach, a National Coach of the Year, 11 bowl wins, tied for second among active coaches. Utah is 9-1. They're 6-1 in conference play. They are number 7 in the college football rankings, and they're at Arizona on Saturday night. We are joined by Kyle Whittingham. Kyle, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Doing well, Jim. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, too. Coach, all right, so you beat UCLA 49-3 Saturday night. That's a game, Kyle, where you had more than 500 yards offensively. The defense forced five turnovers. You had five sacks. I know as a coach, you're always going to look for areas where you can improve. But when you look at that game from an overall team perspective, the domination on both sides, how pleased were you with what you saw?
Well, it was a great effort by our guys, and you know, like you mentioned, we played well offensively and defensively. Special teams were kind of average, but you know, the offense seems to be you know, in high gear right now, and it all starts with our quarterback, Tyler Huntley. He's having a terrific year, and really, you know, he's the team leader and makes that thing go.
You know, he had a big game, 335 passing yards. He had a couple of TDs and a rushing touchdown. You and I have talked about him in the past, and he's in the middle of another special year, as you point out. He's starting to get some attention as a Heisman candidate, but I would still argue that he does not get the national respect that he deserves. What should people know about him as a player and a leader that they don't know?
Well, first of all, his numbers, you know, and if they don't know, I don't know why they don't know, but his numbers are terrific. I mean, his completion percentage is amongst the nation's leaders. His touchdown to interception ratio is off the charts. His yards per attempt, his yards per completion. I mean, just all the things he's doing on the field are obvious and just, you know, phenomenal. And then, you know, every team has, you know, leadership, but he is the leader of the leaders. And that's really something that, you know, he's just been instrumental to our success this year, and his leadership has been invaluable. I mean, he got banged up about a month ago, and I'm telling you right now, the majority of players, if they would have been in his condition, would not have played. And he was just a warrior and kept playing, and I think our players really took note of that.
Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham is my guest. Let me ask you about Zach Moss. He had another huge game with 200 all-purpose yards, and he had a couple of touchdowns. I had him on the show earlier this season, shortly before he broke the school rushing record. I could not have been more impressed with what I heard from him. How far has he come as a player since he first arrived on campus?
Well, he's come a long ways. When, you know, when he was mature when we got him, he was you know, much more mature than a typical freshman was. And we had the two of his teammates, you know, Tyler and him and Damari Simpkins, our receiver, were all three teammates at Hollandale High School back in Florida. They all came into the same class. And those guys have been just terrific. They, you know, Zach has basically rewritten the record book here for running backs. Holds just about every rushing record there is. We've already talked about Tyler, and then Damari is the leader of our receiving group. And all three of them will get their degrees this fall, and that's, to me, most important. They're all going to be graduating, and they've just been terrific for our program.
We're talking Utah Utes football. Kyle Whittingham's back on the program. I talked to Dabo Swinney on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how November is the championship phase. Moss said after the win over UCLA that this is, quote, championship month. So do you notice an increase in focus when it comes to November? Like, is it something you have to dial up, or do the players take care of that themselves?
Mostly takes care of itself. We've got, like I mentioned, great leadership on this team. We got 18 scholarship seniors, and they did a great job of making sure that we stay focused and block out the distractions and the noise. And you know, like I said, it's been a joy to coach this team and be around them. And they're right. I mean, November is where you put up or shut up, and that's you know, something that we take a lot of pride in.
Talk to Kyle Whittingham for a few more moments. You know, I actually had another one of your former players, Saints safety Marcus Williams, on the show yesterday. He was talking about how much he loved the family environment in the program. What do you remember about coaching Marcus? And then how proud are you of how he's shown up in his first three seasons in the NFL?
Oh, I'm very proud. He's doing a great job. He was a terrific player for us. He came in without a lot of fanfare. He was not a highly recruited kid, but just continued to work and develop. And by the time he left here, he's one of the best free safeties we've ever had. And he's obviously having a very productive professional career. And he was a great member of our team and got his degree. I mean, he did everything right as well while he was here. And he was just a terrific player for us.
Man, he's a pro, too. He really carries himself like a pro already, even as a young guy. So you're up to number 7 in the latest college football rankings. I'm curious, how much attention do you pay to that? Like, is it something you use as motivation with your team, or you just completely ignore it?
We completely ignore it. We just worry about the task at hand and what's right in front of us and worrying about controlling what we can control. And that is trying to get a win this week against Arizona. There's still a lot of football left. There's matchups that you know, amongst those top 7 teams that we know are going to take place. So we just try to block all that out and take care of our business. And when all is said and done, if what we've done is good enough, then so be it. But again, just just taking care of our business is our number one priority.
We're talking to Kyle Whittingham. You know, your brand is pretty clear in terms of what it looks like on the field. It wasn't just the offense that was putting up huge numbers on Saturday. It was the physicality that you played with on both sides of the ball. I'm curious, does each unit feed off of each other when it comes to that physicality? Like, is it contagious, or is that just kind of a myth that people in the media like to hype up?
No, I think it is a fact, and it's something that we take a great deal of pride in, is our physicality, particularly in the line of scrimmage. And what is absolutely critical to us on both sides of the ball is how we run the football offensively and how we defend it on defense. And to me, that's one of your best indicators of how physical your team is. And right now we're leading the Pac-12 conference in rushing offense, and our defense is leading the nation defending the run. And so that's something that our guys take a great deal of pride in, and really is the starting point for us offensively and defensively, is being physical at the line of scrimmage and having the run game be a positive for us.
Cal, one more thing about the run game and the offense. We talked about this. When we talked in August, we talked about the return of offensive coordinator Andy Ludwig. Is this pretty much the offense that you envisioned when he came back?
Exactly. The offense that we're running right now complements our defense exceptionally well. And it was the same way when he was here the first time around. You know, this is his second stint. Obviously, he was here my first 4 years as the head coach, and it was great to get him back. You know, wish we could have gotten him back a little sooner, but better late than never. And he's doing a terrific job for us.
Better late than never. Utah, number 7 in the college football rankings. They're 9-1 and 6-1, and they're at Arizona on Saturday night. Their head coach, Kyle Whittingham, our guest. Kyle, great to have you back. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Okay, appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Always good talking to you, Kyle. Kyle Whittingham has built a monster there. They're number 7 in both polls. You know, remember, it used to be back in the day. That was a program that could sneak up on people. You know, maybe they would have a chip on their shoulder. They could surprise people. And now they've got that bullseye right there on their back. They're a top 10 team. You can't sneak up on anybody anymore if you're Utah. But they still have that chip, and that's a really physical team on both sides of the ball. Good to talk some Utes football. That's a National Coach of the Year right now, or right there. 11 bowl wins, tied for 2nd among active coaches. Utah at Arizona. All right, so I've got a window for you. A window which is open. 1-800-636-8686. Bryant McFadden, top of the hour. Arash Markazi, coming up next hour. Since we're talking college football, I'm not saying that this is exclusive to Penn State fan or Penn State program. There are idiots there, like there are idiots that follow every program. And if you threaten somebody's life on social, if they have a bad game, you're an idiot. It's pretty simple. But it happened again. That story's coming up. But first, since it is the bottom of the hour, I'm going to get you a sports up.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, listen, when your stomach pays you back for indulging this holiday with nausea, heartburn, indigestion, or an upset stomach, get quick relief with Pepto-Bismol Liquid Caps. Strong as Pepto Liquid, but small enough to take on the go. Use as directed. Keep out of children's reach. All right, so really quickly, I've got thoughts on the Penn State situation. Quarterback Sean Clifford and social. First, this email says, Rome, in my 20s, I worked as a lifty in Whitefish, Montana. Skiing checkout line is something someone says before they get slammed by the chair and dragged off the ramp with their skis in the air. I would have immediately slowed the lift if I heard Jarris Texas drawl and saw him shuffling up in his jeans, sunglasses, and carefully combed hair. We called people like him gapers. Well, you really think that a billionaire or a multi-hundred millionaire is going to show up in jeans? Skiing in jeans? Did he Scotch guard them? used to do that as kids, man. We'd show up to like Holiday Hill in our jeans, but they'd be scotch guarded. They'd be waterproof. Good look. We used to call him, or people like him, Gapers. Gaper is defined as a skier or snowboarder who is completely clueless, usually distinguished by their bright-colored clothes and a gaper gap, the gap between the goggles and a helmet or a hat. Gapers also do the gaper tuck, which is an attempt at being a ski racer by tucking. However, it is done incorrectly with the poles sticking straight up like thunderbolts and lightning. It's very, very frightening. The definition goes on, quote, gapers also sit at the bottom of jumps and try and go big off tabletops in the park. And then the examples. One, my eyes are burning from that gaper's brightly colored clothes.
Burning.
I fell off the chair laughing at that gaper tuck. Did you just see that gaper getting landed on because he was sitting like a dumbass at the landing of a jump? So that's what that guy meant when he said we called people like him gapers. Casey in New Hampshire. Hey, Rome. I was in the tree checked out line. Sonny Bono. Oh, that's a good one, Lee. The guy skied into a tree and died. Still too soon, Lee. You ever suffer a traumatic injury on a ski slope? You ever notice as you get older, too, like when you're a kid and you're kind of lower to the ground and you're fearless and you don't really have that inhibition, that you'll do anything at all? And then as you get older and older and older, then you get up on the hill, even with a helmet, you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling that. Or like, how smart was it to get loaded and then ski? Yeah, that was bright. Because that'll make my decision-making even better. That'll help with dexterity. I'll have a few pops, then go down the hill. I'm sure the people around me really appreciate that. You know, where you're taking out everybody around you. Tough game. Tough game. I remember we were skiing a few years back. We don't ski anymore, but we were skiing. When we had our house in Montana, we were skiing a few years back. And Jake, our older son, went off a jump, and he smashed himself up and broke his collarbone. And I'm having a good time, man. I'm in the lodge. I'm loving life. I'm like, damn, there's Bradley Cooper. Holy crap, there's Bradley Cooper. Literally, Bradley Cooper in the same lodge. He's looking over at me. I'm looking over at him. We're having like a moment, me and Cooper. I'm like, I'm going to go have a word with that guy. And then all of a sudden over the loudspeaker, Jim Rome, please come to the yurt. And I know it's not good, right? They've never called out to me before. Why are they calling out to me? Especially when me and my guy, Bradley Cooper, are going to have a few pops. Jim Rome, come over to the yurt. I go over to the yurt, like Jake. Poor Jake's like writhing in pain. He's got a busted collarbone. I'm like, hey, son, are you all right, son? Because me and Bradley Cooper are going to have a few shots. No, I didn't say that. So the ski patrol says, yeah, I think he's got a broken collarbone. And so Jake's like, oh, dad. I'm like, it's all right, son. It's going to be fine. Man, you're a warrior. You're a champ. You're a hero. It's going to be fine. And they say, do you want an injection? We can give you something to help with the pain, and then we're going to the hospital. Jake's like, no, I don't want it. I'm like, son, listen to me. And then Jake's young. Jake's really young at this point. I'm like, you don't have to have it. I'm not going to make you have that. You don't have to have it. I don't want it. I don't want it, Dad. No. Jake, listen. I love you. It's fine. You don't have to have it. However, if you have it, it's going to be awesome. It's going to hurt like hell for a minute, and then it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. I don't want it. Jake, we don't have to have it. We can go right now. But I know you're in a lot of pain. If you have this shot, I promise you it's going to be fine. It won't be for about a second, and then it's going to be incredible. All right, I'll do it. Shot that kid up. Oh, man, he was good. He was good after that. He was flying. I'm good. Let's go skiing, Dad. No, we can't go skiing, Dad. Let's go see Bradley Cooper, Dad. No, we can't do that either, son. We're going to the hospital. Anyway, so what I'm saying is it's a really dangerous thing. And then the kid's high. And then the guy's like, hey, Dad, how many bones have you broken? Anyway, son. It's not funny. Sonny Bono is not funny. What was funny was Jera saying that, yeah, I saw Bill Belichick in a ski checkout line. And then Casey New Hampshire saying, we had a name for guys like that. Gapers. Zach and Wisco is in. Hot chocolate. Ovaltine? Tang? What? No love for Bosco? Tab? Didn't deserve any run this morning? How about a Fresca? Zach, don't act like I don't have takes on all those products. Tab tastes like ass. Tab's the worst, man. That is not a good drink. Fresca was kind of fresh. Kind of like that. I don't know, Bosco. At OC138 tweets, Dak will outplay TB12, but the Clapper will find a way to lose that game anyway. As a Cowboys fan, it's not fun knowing this ahead of a big game. All right, that's fair. That's fair. And by the way, he may outplay TB12. Most people are right now. Why do you think TB12 was so frustrated after last week's game? Why do you think he met with the media for 90 seconds and then said, oh man, I'm tired. I got to get out. It's not because he was tired. It's because Julian Edelman had more TD passes than he did. It's because the offense is misfiring. They can't run it. They can't throw it. He doesn't have the skill guys that he needs. Nothing's going right offensively. Look at the Patriots. They've got a very different look. They're doing it with defense. Hell, they're doing it with special teams. They're not doing it with the offense. TB12's not leading from the front. It's not even all his fault. They're just not the same. So that's not some kind of crazy hot take. Is Dak going to outplay TB12? He's outplaying pretty much every quarterback he goes up against right now. And Brady's not. But they're 9-1. 1-800-636-8686. Let's take a telephone call. Where's that phone call from? Adam, Pittsburgh. Let's go to the Berg. Larry in Pittsburgh. Larry, how are you?
What's up? How you doing?
Good.
I couldn't help but think of my favorite skiing story of all time. A girl I worked with was learning to ski, and she had a little bit of a time break, and she had to go to the bathroom. So she went up to some pine trees up above where the instruction was going on, dropped her pants, and accidentally took off down the slope in front of all the people with her pants down around her ankles.
Woo! Good one, Lair! I don't know. Like when I said, why don't you share your best skiing story with me? I didn't really mean it. This guy just couldn't help but chuckle about that, man. That was wild. I knew this one gal, and she went skiing, and she needed a break, and she found some trees, and she dropped pants, and she did what she had to do, and she forgot to pull them back up, and there she was, going down the mountain, pants around her ankles. Woo-hoo-hoo! Come on, that didn't happen. Upon further review, do not share your best skiing story with me. Just because I shared a skiing story involving my family with you does not mean I need you to share your best skiing story with me, especially if that's your best skiing story. Well, let me guess. Were all the others on the side of the mountain chanting that as she went down? Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Good stuff, Lair. All right, that was Pittsburgh right there. The telephone lines are open right now. You can take your best shot. What I do want to get into still is what happened with Penn State. Like, Dabo Swinney came on the show yesterday, and we talked about Trevor Lawrence and how he's playing right now. One of the things that Lawrence has said is that he feels free from outside expectations, that he's just playing ball. If you notice, it's something that comes up a lot with players and coaches on this show. How do you go about dealing with the outside expectations? How do you deal with that noise? Do you embrace it? Do you shut it out? Do you watch TV? Do you go on Twitter and Instagram? Or do you just steer clear? Do you stay away? Which brings me to Penn State and quarterback Sean Clifford. He deleted his social media after the loss to Minnesota. Why do you do that? Because of the pressure, because of the expectations? No. He did it because of the death threats. Quote, I usually delete it closer to games, but I completely deleted it after the Minnesota game. It's kind of sad to say, but you know how fans sometimes get. It gets a little crazy. I was kind of, I guess, sick and tired of getting death threats and some pretty explicit and pretty tough to read messages. End quote. Actually, it's more than, quote, kind of sad. It's more than, quote, a little crazy. It's completely sad and bat bleep crazy. Penn State lost to Minnesota 31-26. It was a rough loss for the Nittany Lions and for Clifford, and apparently it got so much worse because losers started to send this guy death threats. Let me read you that part of the quote once again. Quote, I was kind of, I guess, sick and tired of getting death threats. End quote. Like there's an acceptable level of death threats that you have to expect that you're going to get, but then it goes over the line. I mean, that's what the guy's implying. How about this? One death threat is one too many. If you're chasing a college student off social with death threats, that's not about the kid. That's about you. Sending death threats to a college kid because of how he played in a game. The guy throws three interceptions, and then you jump right on social media, and you threaten to kill him. Great call, losers. And this isn't even a Sean Clifford thing or a Penn State thing. I know this goes on with other teams and other fan bases, and it's deplorable. I mean, it's really despicable. Imagine being a college athlete. You lose a tough game. You're completely gutted. You feel like you let everybody down, everybody inside and outside the locker room. And afterwards, you get back to your room, maybe even on the bus ride back. You turn your phone on. You start to scroll through death threats. Better yet, imagine you're the loser who thumbed out a death threat. Imagine that's where you are in your life, that your response to a sporting event, a college game, is to threaten the life of a person who played in that game. Penn State coach James Franklin had a thought or two on it.
I don't know where we are as a society. It's concerning. You know, we're 9-1, we're ranked, in the top 10, I think. We've had a pretty good year based on most people's standards. And sometimes you go on social media and you wouldn't feel that way. You hate to see it, but you know, the sad thing, it's a part of our reality of our society right now. You see that in a lot of areas. And the last thing I want to do is get into other things besides football right now. But you see a lot of things that are behaviors in our society now that we accept that I don't know why we're accepting. You know, you see some things from a violence perspective. You see some things that people in positions of how they're conducting themselves. Just a lot of things that we're accepting in our society that we would never have accepted before.
He's right. He's absolutely right. And social media does play a role in this. Listen, social media can be a great thing. And it can be a horrible thing. It's both. Because people are anonymous. They don't have to own what they do. They can just spew hate. And they're never held accountable. And they get way more confident, way more reckless, way more idiotic. Now, if your team loses and you're pissed, you can just pick up your phone and send some hate to the guy who caused you to feel that pain. I mean, does that make you feel better? Because if we're being honest, really honest, if you've got that level of anger and rage over a team losing a game, man, your pain is much deeper. Much deeper. I mean, being angry, that's not a shield. It's okay to be angry. It's okay not to be okay. But it's not okay to take that out on other people and thumb out death threats on social media, right? I'll finish that thought, and I've got more. Coming up next segment, a CBS Sports football analyst, Bryant McFadden, Arash Markazi in the segment after that. Stay tuned.